Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, and you can subscribe to my blog as well. Or if you want to, you can just come get it. It's available for you every day about mid-morning. You'll be able to see the updated blog and a lot of other things there. Thousands of archives, thousands of articles, hundreds and hundreds of Brain Trust members who are there to are available to you, and I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. It's all free. Everything on our site is free, thanks to our great corporate partners and my organization. And all you have to pay for, if you decide to actually lay some money down, would be our books. We ask you to pay for those. And Judith Glaser knows about that. She has a book, and it's a very important one too, folks. It's called The DNA of Leadership: Leverage Your Instincts to Communicate, Differentiate, and Innovate. And Judith and I have been doing a little bit of a series on this. It's a very important topic. Judith, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It's so great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Judith, I have noticed something. I've been around long enough. One of the things that's on this day in history, this is the day that the new Mustangs were unveiled in 1964. Now, Judith, you're much too young to remember that, but I actually remember that. So I've been around a while, and I had a pretty good taproot of existence before the turn of the century. And so I had pretty good perspective on the marketplace, 6 years ago. Now that we're 6 years into the new century, the new millennium, I actually believe that there's some things going on that I know it's just a coincidence that the date of this new century was an arbitrary thing that just happened, so to speak, because somebody decided way back when to start tracking time. But I do believe that there have been some things that have happened in the last 5 or 6 years that are remarkable, and that have been the timing has been very interesting to me with the new century. What do you think?
Well, I think that there is a shift that's going on in the world, and I'd love to hear what your couple of things are that you've been seeing. But I just know that since the last 5 years, there is a whole new lexicon that's arising in the world, and a whole new way of people that are monitoring and managing together the essence of what's coming out of experiences. I know part of it is because we all see each other through the internet, through the web, through everything. I mean, nothing is hidden. It's all transparent.
Right.
But there's like a consciousness now where people are saying, there's an ethics that's arising that was never there before. That is this, and this is what the greatness of leadership is all about, is when people can work together to create an ethical system that we all can live in that benefits all of us.
Are you saying that this increased connectivity is increasing our ethical awareness?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely am. And
go ahead. I have a thought, but I'll ask you that in a minute. Go ahead.
Yeah. So what it means is that we can turn to each other, see an inequity, and call it. Where before we always had to closet it or talk to others about it and just get upset and complain about the other guy, there's a place now for us to actually call those inequities.
Especially when you're dealing with someone long distance. Now we call it dealing with them virtually, whereas in centuries past, time past, in the last century, I should say, we called it long distance. But now it's virtual, and so virtual is closer than long distance, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it just feels like they're next door. And in some ways it's good, in some ways it's bad, because we use that virtual as a dump or a download, too,
mm-hmm.
which is not what I'm talking about, because that doesn't produce quality conversations, which is what I'm all about. That's a chance for you to get it off your chest and kind of push the button and say, okay, I'm done, I feel better now.
Well, see, the reason that I agree with you is because, as I say, I was part of the long-distance marketplace for a long time, and I had people. There were people that I worked with across the country and on the other side of the world before we had this kind of connectivity. But I don't think we were. I don't think I was as close to them as I am with the people that I know virtually now. I have friends. I have people that I care a great deal about that I've never met.
Mm-hmm.
And so I you know, I hadn't thought about the ethical angle of it, though. That's very interesting.
Yep. And I want to ask you deeply, there's a deep answer to this, which is that what enables you now to feel so connected? What is going on and transpiring in the conversations that you're having with people that enables you to feel that you're more deeply connected than ever before?
We're able to use multiple channels to get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually see them. You know, if I want to, we can exchange photographs. We can talk through instant messaging. We can talk through email. Phone long distance calls are not expensive. We can talk longer on the phone. I guess what I'm getting at is we're a little more familiar with each other.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think that what's happening is that people are redefining what a good relationship is all about and a good partnership. And in work, and this is another thing that shifted in the 21st century, in work it was all about getting results and about meeting the bottom line, mm-hmm. and about, you know, profits. And people are realizing that there's two sides of a coin. The first one is relationship, the second is the task. And until we can get the first part right, we can't weather the difficult storms with somebody. We don't feel like we're sharing in both the drought as well as the you know, soaring end result. And so I think that's part of the difference is we're looking at relationships and saying, I've got to get to know people more deeply, understand what they're all about, understand what their dreams and desires are. You know, take more time doing that so that when the time is tough, we can coalesce again around the things we believe strongly in and it brings us back to center.
But now when you talk about the DNA of leadership, yeah. DNA is primordial. I mean, DNA goes way back. It didn't change. DNA didn't change when the clock ticked a new millennium. So are you saying that our DNA is changing? Our leadership DNA is changing?
Well, I think there's two things going on here. First of all, we know DNA as things like fingerprinting. That's what's always in the news. You know, you get to know, and that never changes. But what we are discovering is that there's a whole new definition of what DNA is all about, genes are all about, that we have genes that don't change, that give us our characteristics. That's the old way of thinking. And that gets us back to the 20th century thinking. You know, you are who you are when you get born. But there is what's called regulatory DNA, which actually regulates how we are with each other in many, many different capacities. And there's a new discovery that we found out that actually language is a regulatory gene. Which means that as we speak with each other, our words go inside and they do something to regulate the feelings that we have inside about each other.
And that's what we're going to talk about when we come back and how that applies to the way we lead our folks and how we allow ourselves to be led. It's 20 after. We'll be right back with our good friend Judith Glaser. She's the author of the outstanding book, The DNA of Leadership. Stay with us. Lindsey Buckingham, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, how build you kingdom.
A great artist.
A
madman with a guitar. That's one man on a guitar foot right there, folks. It's a pretty good song. Judith Glaser is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, and I bet she likes Fleetwood Mac too, don't you, Judith?
Absolutely.
Isn't that a great band?
Yeah.
Now, what other radio shows do you get to go on and talk about rock and roll?
Oh, my God, never.
Never. Only on the Small Business Advocate Show.
Exactly.
Judith, give us your website, please.
www.creatingwe.com.
Right.
That's creatingwe.com.
All right. And the book is called The DNA of Leadership, and I encourage you to check it out, folks. A lot of good stuff here. One of the things that we want to do, Judith, in this segment is talk about how this new vibrancy, this new heartbeat of the marketplace or of the universe, depending on how you want to think about it. What is that? How is that changing the way we manage our people? Why is that important for us to understand that as we manage our people?
There is such a huge bit of wisdom inside of what you're saying. And let me see if I can help draw some lines in the sand. In the old world that we lived in, the 20th century world, a lot of the world was about the domination of leadership.
Yep.
And it was about, right, leaders driving results. And you know, if you were a leader, you knew it because people stood behind you and followed you. And that whole kind of military command and control stuff. that has so died in this world. And what's beautiful that's emerging on the other side is this belief and respect for the spirit of human beings coming together and creating together, for the energy that we build and give to each other to achieve our goals and how we support each other, and to the potential that's inside that's untapped. It's such a different way of looking at people. It's like we can grow forever. There's nothing. There are more 100-year-old people now in the world than there ever were before. In 30 to 50 years, there are going to be a million 100-year-old people. I'm going to be there. You're going to be there, right?
I don't know if I want to see what the world looks like when I'm 100, Judith, but but maybe so. But no, I hear you. And I'll tell you something that's happening. And see, I know managers that are fossils that you know don't get this, and when they hear people like you talking about this, they break out into a cold sweat because they've been invested in this dominator model instead of what I call and other people are calling the partnership model of management, and it's really rough on them. But the thing that's driving this, Judith, and it's not a mystery at all. A lot of what's driving this are the younger generations that we're employing. The Gen Xers are not snapping their heels together and saluting their bosses and saying, yes, sir, whatever you want, sir, the way I did when I was a young pup.
It's really interesting. They called them, it went from X to Y generation. They're calling the Y generation the millennials.
Right. Now, that's the generation behind the Xs. Those are the ones who are under 20 right now.
Yes, exactly.
And the other, the 20 to 30 or so are the Gen Xers, and between the two of them, by the time the Ys are finished, by the time that generation has sort of come to an end, and we have another generation coming, that group is going to be about 100 million. The Xers are about 50 million, so about half of our nation are in those two generations.
Yep, exactly. And what you had asked a question right before the break, which I want to connect to what we're talking about now, which is about the title of my book is The DNA of Leadership. And we were saying there's certain things about us as human beings that don't change, like our fingerprint and our hair and things like that. But there are other things, and it has to do with language and how we see the world. In fact, it's not only evolving, it's mutating, it's changing, it's producing new ways of seeing the world. That's why each of those generations that you talked about, literally the way they construct in their head what the world is all about and where they fit into it, is completely different. And that's what is being passed along from generation to generation, is a new way of seeing the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you say, I want to come back to this dominator model and the partner model that you were talking about. One of the things you say in your book on page 163 is what you call junk DNA, leadership mythologies.
Yep.
One of them is respect comes from having a title, and leaders have the most authority. What do you think?
Yep. I think, again, that's all what we're doing is starting to uncouple the beliefs that held us in this past dominator model. And once you start to see it laid out, and in every chapter I try to give people what some of the junk DNA is around each one of the genes, all of a sudden you go, yes. I mean, you can see it when it's pulled apart like that and put right in front of you. And I want leaders to start to realize that they contain inside their heads, that's what's driving them.
One of the things that I've observed in my history is that in the 20th century, leaders and drivers could coexist. And both of them could be pretty effective. Because a leader is not the same thing as a driver. And drivers make people do what they want them to do. Leaders have people who want to follow them. And so in the 21st century, though, drivers are not going to last very long. But whereas leaders are.
Yeah.
Leaders will.
Drivers produce a certain chemical response inside of people. It's called resistance. And especially in the young generation, where people don't want to be pushed and told what to do or forced what to do, they literally have a chemical reaction to that. And it stops people from wanting to become part of or connect to what things are going, right? I say to people, we're moving from telling to transforming. Leaders need to hold this concept of what is transformational, what is going to help transform people, me, the organization, that doesn't come from pushing people in a direction.
The other thing that drivers do is they create a casualty list. Judith, thank you for being here. Good job today. Will you come back?
Absolutely.
Thanks, Judith. Judith Glazer, ladies and gentlemen. The book is called The DNA of Leadership, available wherever books are sold. I'll be back with one of the Small Business People of the Year, chosen by the SBA, Buddy Roybal, right after these messages. Stay with us. 29 after.
I'm lonely, but no one can.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.